You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the John and Gordy in the Morning Show here on WMDX in Madison, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm not John and I'm not Gordy. I'm Matt Rothschild. The guys are off today since they've been doing double duty, so I'm subbing in for them and I'm here with our great producer, Dom Lee. Dom, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a little cold in the studios. I don't know if you felt that, but I decided to turn up the thermostat because my hands, you know, I'm kind of a skinny guy, so I need a little bit of circulation going through my veins.
Well, I'm not so skinny, so I had to take my sweater off. I run hot, so there you go. Listen, you and I have arranged a terrific show this morning, if I might say. We're going to be talking about the Democrat candidates for governor in this first half hour. And if you want to tell us who your choice for governor is, just give us a call at 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. You can also text at that number. Then we got Nick Ramos at 635. Nick is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll be talking about Donald Trump and his latest obscenities. And then at 705, a staff member of the International Crane Foundation, that terrific group up in Baraboo, will be here to talk about a bill that's coming up for a hearing in just a matter of hours up the street at the Capitol, a bill to allow the hunting of sandhill cranes, of all things. Finally, at 735, Jeff Mandel, the head of Law Forward, will be dropping by, so it should be a lot of fun. I also have a poem and a couple bird songs for you these next couple hours. But first, I'm relieved to say that the Democrats have a roster of great candidates for governor, some of whom were just at the Alliance Center yesterday for a forum on homelessness. Dom and I have been hearing from them over the last couple of weeks as we've had a parade of candidates come through the office here, Dom.
Yes, yes. And it's been amazing. I feel like I have to wear a suit every single time, you know, because I know yesterday we talked to Crowley, right?
Yeah, we talked to Milwaukee County Exec David Crowley.
Yeah.
In the evening and in the morning, we talked to Missy Hughes, mm-hmm. Secretary Hughes, former Secretary of Wisconsin Economic Development Corp, WEDIC. We've had other candidates come through here. They've been coming through because I've been doing a podcast for Civic Media here for the last year and a half called Wisconsin Forward. And I'm giving each of these candidates about a half hour, basically just to introduce themselves to our audience and to Wisconsin voters. So you can find the Wisconsin Forward podcast at civicmedia.us and just look for the Wisconsin Forward podcast there. And we also have other candidates coming through. We've got Kelda Royce coming in this morning,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple others. So it's been fun just to meet them. Some of them I've met before in my previous incarnations.
I could tell, yeah. Some of them, they knew who you are as soon as you walked through the door. I was like, wow. Okay.
Well, I've been around a while, so what are you going to do? Anyhow, we'd like to offer you a snippet of some of these interviews so you can get a flavor of the candidates in their own words, in their own voices. Let's start off with state rep here in Madison, Francesca Hong.
Thank you.
So that's State Rep Francesca Hong. She is running for governor. She's our rep here in the Madison area. Dom, I wanted to get your sense of her, listening to her right there.
She was very well spoken. I know when she came through here, she was one of the first candidates that we've interviewed, and she was very well spoken. She was very nice, and she sounds like she knows what she's doing, you know, and she's very upfront about stuff, and she doesn't, you know, let things go under the wing. So that's what's really nice about
her. Yeah, I liked her speaking style. It was so quiet, almost whispery, yet substantive. And it just made me listen more closely, focus more intently on what she was saying. And it had the intimacy of just a one-on-one conversation, which is what we do. But, you know, sometimes when we have candidates in here, they're more rehearsed, should we say. And hers was more of a conversation, though I thought a lot of them were conversations. A couple of things she mentioned there I wanted to follow up on. I mean, I thought her dignity, opportunity, economic security was a good pitch. Certainly every Wisconsinite should have dignity, opportunity, and economic security. And then I almost laughed when you played the end bit because she talks about being this foul-mouthed legislator. We asked her later in the conversation about that, and she just said, you know, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had the buzzer ready in case she let loose with a swear word while she was here, but she didn't do that. But she's not afraid to do that, and I asked her about it, and she said, you know, it's who I am. I've been in restaurant work my whole life.
Right.
That's how we talk. You know, she's not going to, you know, put a rose-colored glass over things that are lousy. If they're lousy, she's going to say so in plain English, and for her, that plain English can be a little bit strong.
Yeah, and I felt like I knew her my whole life. When she walked in here, I was like, oh, wow, you know? It felt like I was also in the room with you guys having that conversation, so it was really a nice interview.
Yeah, and the lane that she's taking in this race is kind of the AOC lane. You know, both because they worked in the restaurant business and bar business, but also because they're Democratic Socialists and not afraid to talk about it. And so I talked with her about what it meant to be a Democratic Socialist and what that means to her. So if you want to listen more to my interview with Representative Francesca Hong, you can just go to civicmedia.us and look up the Wisconsin Forward podcast. So who do we have next? We have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez?
We do, yes.
Awesome. Let's take a listen. So that was Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who was in here just a few days ago. We got a text saying Matt and Dom are lighting up the morning. We appreciate that feedback. You can call or text, too, and tell us how you're taking the show right now, 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255. And also tell us who your favorite candidate is for governor. What I liked about Sarah Rodriguez, Dom, was, you know, she talked about listening to people who probably didn't vote for Republican constituents, and that's good. And I like the fact that she's saying she'll stand up to Donald Trump.
Right.
She didn't mince any bones about that. And later in that conversation, I talked to her about public health, because she was a public health nurse before she became lieutenant governor, and she also had a job with some health companies, too. And just what RFK Jr. has been doing to the public health of this country and the citizens of Wisconsin, and how dangerous it is and how people are going to suffer as a consequence, especially kids who aren't being immunized. She used to work at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And so she has a great perspective on these issues of public health. What did you make of the lieutenant governor?
I also thought it was another great conversation. That was, I think, the day after, and it was just it went right on through. And she definitely is, you know, louder. She has a different approach than Francesca Hong, where she's, you know, again, outspoken, and she likes to get her ideas through, and she does like just to have a conversation even with people who don't necessarily agree with her. So I like that part about her too.
And just to give the listener the heads up, what I do is with each candidate, I just start out every conversation, why do you want to run for governor? And this is essentially what the answer that Dom is plucking for us. But I also tell them, we're not going to edit this. We're not going to mess around with their answers, do anything in production. We are giving them an opportunity to talk to you, the citizen of Wisconsin, about what their vision is for the state, how they would react on a number of issues, especially dealing with Donald Trump, and what issues are most important to them. So it was pretty wide open. And I think it lets you get a real feel for where they're coming from. And so, you know, we're going to come back after the break and hear from another candidate or two, and take your calls at 608-879-8255. You're listening to John and Gordy in the Morning. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for them on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy in the Morning here on WMDX in Madison, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Of course, I'm not John and I'm not Gordy. I'm Matt Rothschild. The guys are off today. They've been working double shifts. So I'm pitching in for them this morning, and I'm here with our great producer, Dom Lee. We're talking about the Democratic candidates for governor this half hour. Who is your favorite? Call us. 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255, as you heard in the jingle. And we do have a caller. We have Joe from Madison. I always like listening to Joe and her thoughtful questions and comments. Joe, how are you this morning?
Great to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear it. And say hi to Dom, too. And that jingle is like a cup of coffee on supercharge. It does wake you up. It's great. I was interested in just offering a few thoughts about the candidate, Kelda Royce. And there are a couple of things about her that really struck me. I went to a meet and greet with her, and one of them was that she, too, is more than willing to go take the fight on elements from the federal government coming down from Trump and company and tackling them, more than willing to do that. It was elbows up, clearly, on that situation. She had a couple of things that I thought that she said that separated her from this other pool of very talented candidates. One item was that she, in the time she's been in the legislature, off and on for a long time, and she's said she's the only candidate so far that's ever served on joint finance, which is, of course, the committee that is, you know, in charge of crafting the bill, which is, of course, what the governor's, you know, that directs our direction in the state. So she has that experience behind her. She also has the experience of knowing the legislature before Walker and this current group of Republicans got in and after. So she's got, you know, some ways to look at the legislature in terms of how to adjust things so that they work better. And then the final thing she has, which to me is just a game changer, is that she is really in favor of allowing every citizen in the state to partake of the state healthcare system and the state pension system. And I'm telling you, the gift that is for people to know that their pension is going to be well managed by one of the most well-managed pension systems in the country, for sure, possibly in the world, and then in the state healthcare system, where you increase the number of people in the pool and then increase the power that you have for directing good healthcare for people in the state. I just thought that that last item in particular is a game changer. When the state pension fund was devised back in the 1930s, when things were so dire, they had planned that everybody could participate. But because of Republicans at the time, you know, saying no, they couldn't get that through. All they could get through were people who were employed by the state. If other people in this state working as a farmer, hairdresser, whatever, had an opportunity to partake of this system and the power of having these smart, smart, smart people direct your money, and they're directed to be stable about it. They've done a great job. So at any rate, that was a game changer for me. I thought that would really, really change a lot of people's lives to reduce the worry on those two items of pension and health care. So thanks, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. And great idea to have these candidates on and just say, we're not going to edit it. Just you make the case. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe. I'm glad you're appreciating what we're doing over here at Civic Media. And yeah, we're going to have Kelda Royce here in this studio at 8:30 this morning. And so if you want to hear that conversation, it'll be at civicmedia.us at the Wisconsin Forward podcast. I think we have time to listen to a bit of Missy Hughes, who was the Secretary for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation under Evers, and then 17 years before that, first 17 years before that, worked at Organic Valley. Let's take a listen. So that was Missy Hughes. She's running for governor. She was at the Economic Development Corporation under Evers. She is taking kind of a different pitch, wouldn't you say, Dom, than the other candidates we've interviewed? She's not really talking to the base so much.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with you. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, maybe it'll work. You know, she says she's running on the I'm not a politician. And people are sick of politics as usual, and they're sick of politicians as usual.
Right.
Certainly Donald Trump made hay on that, and Bernie Sanders to some extent made hay on that too. We'll see if the lieutenant governor can do that and whether Missy Hughes can do that. I mean, lieutenant governor was talking as a politician. Missy Hughes is an anti-politician. And we'll hear a little bit more from one more candidate when we're back, and then we're going to have Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You're listening to John and Gordy in the Morning. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for them here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and please stay tuned.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to John and Gordy in the Morning here on WMDX in Madison, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. By now, you must have guessed. I'm not John, and I'm not Gordy. I'm Matt Rothschild. The guys are off today since they've been doing double duty. I've been called in from the bullpen, so here I am with our great producer, Dom Lee. We're talking about the Democratic candidates for governor, wondering who your favorite candidate is. Let us know at 608-879-8255. Give us a ring, 608-879-8255, or send us a text. Love to hear from you. It was great to hear from Joe right before the break. She always has substantive things to say, which I really appreciate. So, Dom, we had one other interview with a Democratic candidate just last night at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley came into the studios here at Civic Media to sit down with me for a half-hour conversation about why he's running for governor. Let's just take a listen to a bite of that. So that was County Exec David Crowley from Milwaukee. I knew him when he was in the state legislature. I thought he was very impressive. What did you think, Doug?
I thought so, too, and especially that little snippet that we got. It was a great conversation, and I was also a part of that. I went to University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh the past 4 years, about 6 months ago, and I'm currently still paying the repercussions of that tuition cost with that UW system. So what he's talking about is very real and happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, when a candidate for governor of Wisconsin says the UW education is no longer affordable, I think everyone needs to stand up and take notice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it used to be a promise here. If you got good enough grades, you could get into the UW either here in Madison or other places, and it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. But
right
now it costs you an arm and a leg, as you just found out as a newly minted grad.
Yeah, and on top of that, I was originally from Illinois, right? So I came to UW-Oshkosh with out-of-state tuition, and that's even more, I can't imagine just what in-state tuition is. I don't really know the exact numbers on that, but it's probably a pretty hefty amount.
And then were you able to get in-state tuition the next couple of years, or were you out-of-state the whole time?
I was out-of-state the whole time.
Oof.
Yep. The whole time, and
that's a burden.
Just a little bit, just a little bit. I gotta be careful about my apartment rent. Let me tell you.
Yeah. I mean, you and everybody else, because as David Crowley then pointed out, what is affordable? It's not just the UW system. We had a long talk about rent, prices of rent, price of housing, in part because hedge funds from California are going into Milwaukee and elsewhere in Wisconsin and just buying up properties. They're absentee landlords. They don't care about the community. They're not from the community. They don't live in the community. And they're just speculating on real estate, which drives up the price of housing if you own, drives up the price of rent if you're a tenant. And so David Crowley, he comes from one of the poorest districts in the state, the most incarcerated zip code in the state down there in Milwaukee. And he speaks from real experience. He talked about being kicked out of several places when he was growing up in high school, having had to move from one apartment to another, one eviction notice after another. So he has a real personal experience about what this affordability crisis means and can speak to that with real personal knowledge. And I also thought he was a very affable, likable guy.
And on top of that, you know what? And he smelled good. He smelled good. He smelled really, I got to know what his cologne was, because it was just, oh man. Yeah. He was a great interview yesterday. And we appreciate his time for sure.
Yeah, just a wonderful smile, too. Very likable man. And so this is the series of interviews I'm doing on my Wisconsin Forward podcast for Civic Media at civicmedia.us. We've got Kelda Royce coming in for a half-hour interview later today, this morning even. And then Brett Halsey, who I knew in a previous incarnation and who has run in previous incarnations for governor, too. And he's coming in tomorrow morning. So we're trying to get a good sampling of the folks who are running. We also had Ryan Sternad. I know he came in, too. And we have that up on our Civic Media website under the Wisconsin Forward podcast. So it's trying to give you, the Wisconsin citizen, you, the listener to Civic Media, you, the visitor to civicmedia.us, a sampling of this good bench that the Democrats have in this race for governor. Always interested in who you think you'd like to see in the governor's chair now that Governor Evers is retiring. The phone number is 608-879-8255. So give us a call. Send us a text. One thing I liked about both David Crowley and the lieutenant governor, Sarah Rodriguez, was the way they saluted Governor Evers, who's on his way out the door, obviously. And they both commended him for the way he's handled his office. And I thought that was impressive. I've not always been the biggest Governor Evers fan. I wanted him to be a little stronger on the budget. I was hoping maybe he would have vetoed the whole thing. That wasn't his style. You know, and I wanted a bit more of a fighter, though he's been a good goalie, I guess, against these Republicans. But I always just kind of chuckled because, you know, I'm a political sports writer, if you will. Mm-hmm. And as a political athlete, he never struck me as a great athlete because he is not a great public speaker. He can't debate. He was the worst debater on stage the first time he ran. And yet his authenticity rang true, which is what the lieutenant governor talked about and what County Exec David Crowley talked about when they saluted the outgoing governor. So that's our little series on who's running for governor, who your favorite is. You can still call us here at 608-879-8255 and let us know. But we're going to switch gears here for a second because a friend of mine has just walked into the studio, Nick Ramos, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, boss man. Happy Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday, right?
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
All day long, as they say. How have you been doing?
I mean, it's just been a crazy time, man. I mean, you know, it's an off year technically because we don't have any elections or anything happening, but it feels like the world's on fire, man. So it's busy every day.
Yeah. Well, the world is on fire. It's on fire literally with global warming. It's on fire with our country, our democracy on fire, which is one reason I wanted to have you in here today because, you know, it's just been crazy what Donald Trump has been doing to our democracy. What's your take on that?
We don't have enough time to talk about it, man. But, you know, real quick, Cliff Notes version, I mean, the institutions that we've assumed would always be there are literally getting steamrolled on every single day. And people don't, I guess in a state like Wisconsin, I mean, we feel the impacts through SNAP benefits being taken away up and down. We think we feel about like these health insurance premiums that are going to be skyrocketing here. I mean, but there's a lot of other things that are happening around the country that I don't think it's been really felt here in Wisconsin yet. So, you know, everybody's kind of just going on like it's business as usual when it's not.
What are some of those other things we haven't felt yet that's coming our way?
Well, I mean, we got a taste of it when Judge Hannah Dugan got arrested in her courtroom in Milwaukee. You know, ICE presence in our communities, I mean, they're trying to normalize it and legitimize it. And yet, last time I checked, man, child daycare and schools and some of these other places, I don't think I want ICE agents in there.
Yeah, it was one of the questions I asked these candidates for governor. You know, what are you going to do if you're governor and ICE is in Wisconsin? Are you going to protect our citizens here? They all said they would, of course, but you know, it's a tall task.
Yeah,
and we've got some sheriffs in some counties, you know, working hand in glove with ICE, and you know, we haven't seen anything like that in this country, at least since you know the roundup of Japanese Americans in World War II or Chinese Americans in the late 19th century.
I think it's interesting that history somehow always repeats itself, but also when we have these very authoritarian powers that end up taking over, what they do, they try to erase, you know, parts of our history so that we can't look back and be able to learn from them and that things like this can happen. And so we're living in historic times. I say that every year, but man, does it feel realer than ever right now?
Yeah, it couldn't get more real. I wish it was less real. I wish we were living in less interesting times.
Yeah, you and me both, man.
Because it's, and I'm glad my parents aren't here. You know, my dad fought the Nazis in Europe. That's the shocking thing to me. Every family in America almost has a father, if you're my age, or grandfather or great-grandfather, who fought in World War II against the fascists, and now we have a guy who's a fascist in the White House.
You don't say.
I mean, it's unreal. And every day there's a new obscenity from this guy. That's, you know, he lives for the drama, too. As long as he's a classic narcissist, so as long as we're thinking about and talking about him, he's happy.
He loves calling reporters piggies, man.
Yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, on Friday, he called a reporter from Bloomberg, the correspondent Catherine Lucy, quiet piggy, because she was doing a follow-up question on the Epstein files.
Wow, is that rich, for one. But two, also, I would say, beyond the humor part of that, like, when you have the president of the United States saying that to, you know, someone in their press corps, like, it would make me afraid to ask questions, you know, to this man and fear that I'm going to get berated or get talked down on. So,
and even worse, I mean, you know, what goes on social media, you know, they'll get all sorts of, you know, hateful comments, and then maybe threats. That's the serious thing. I mean, people are getting threatened, and he has no regard for the media. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back. My guest is Nick Ramos. I'm Matt Rothschild here on the John and Gordy Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Maybe talk a little bit about Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy are off today. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for them. Delighted to be with you and with my producer, Dom Lee. If you want to join our conversation, please do so. Give us a call. Send us a text, 608-879-8255. That's 608, of course, 879-8255. 8255, and with me still in the studio here is an old friend of mine, Nick Ramos, the executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thanks for hanging on, Nick.
Hey, pleasure to be here, boss man, per usual.
You always answer the phone, always answer the call. So before the break, we were talking about this reporter from Bloomberg, Catherine Lucy, who on Friday dared to ask the president an obvious question about the Epstein files, and he called her piggy and said, quiet piggy. That's how he treats women. And then the White House press office, of course, couldn't apologize for the president. No, they had to defend the president. So they came out with a statement that said, this reporter behaved in an inappropriate and unprofessional way.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then they said this, which is just playground. Playground bully stuff. If you're going to give it, you have to be able to take it. I mean, it's just, how old are these folks at that White House press office? They're all about 14.
Oh, dude, I mean, they got interns running those accounts, man. You see the memes and stuff? I honestly, like, it's really disappointing because I feel like we're normalizing so much juvenile behavior for what used to be an office. It didn't matter what party it was. You respected it. Now it's like, I mean, Megyn Kelly a while ago said, man, Trump called people pigs, slobs, dogs. And he's talking about women, man. And this is the guy who's supposed to be representing our country, man. Do you think this is really a role model for kids to look up to?
No, but the amazing thing is we knew this from day one. We knew this from the first campaign. and still the guy got elected.
Oh, because people are sitting here and saying things like, well, I only care about tax breaks. I only care about, you know, what financially is going to be beneficial for me instead of kind of the social and some of the dignity aspects of our society. And I'm kind of disappointed that we let this behavior just run rampant instead of checking it in real time. Because again, we want our reporters to be able to ask questions and not get absolutely swatted and talked down to.
I mean, we could have checked it in real time. I remember after that Hollywood tape came out, the first time he was running with his disgusting comment, there was Kellyanne Conway on Fox News that night saying just what you're saying. Oh, people don't really care about that. They care about jobs. They care about the economy. And then the women's vote, you know, 53% of white women voted for the guy anyway. So it's just unbelievable. And he's still ridiculing reporters again. Yesterday, there was Trump. He brought Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia to the White House, praised him appallingly. If you can catch this, as a protector of human rights, despite the fact that the CIA concluded he was behind the horrible murder and grotesque
Jamal Khashoggi
mutilation of, as you say, Jamal Khashoggi, Washington Post columnist. Trump said he knew nothing about it. That is, that Khashoggi was killed by bin Salman. Trump says bin Salman knew nothing about it. And then in typical anything is justified mode, Trump adds, a lot of people didn't like that gentleman.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then he said things happen. I mean, it was just unbelievable what Trump was saying. And then he says, me and the Crown Prince were really good friends. And then when a reporter from ABC, Mary Bruce, asked bin Salman about it, Trump called the inquiry about Khashoggi a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question, and said, I think the license should be taken away from you at ABC because your news is so fake and so wrong. I mean, this is the guy who has no respect for the First Amendment, no respect for freedom of speech, no respect for freedom of the press, no respect for human rights.
Preach right now, man. Preach. Because honestly, like, first and foremost, man, prayers to Jamal Khashoggi's family, man. Nobody deserves to be tortured and killed like the way that man was killed. And then to have to watch basically one of the benefactors and the people that are folks are alleging it was behind, you know, the murder and assassination of this man. Like, you know, you're inviting him into the Oval Office. You're giving him the red carpet. You know, you're over here basically legitimizing this man's presence all over basically an arms deal. I mean, we're exchanging weapons for money and this guy's talking about all the investments. And it basically means that if you can pay your way to play with Trump, he does not care if you are doing, you know, humanitarian, like absolute, like trying to kill people, and like doesn't matter at the end of the day that you end up doing the most nefarious things as long as you're willing to pay Trump.
Yeah, if the money's coming in, he doesn't care. He also has this love affair with the strongman.
Oh.
I mean, that's why he loves Putin. I mean, that's why he loves Xi. That's why he loves Mohammed bin Salman. You know, these guys who are tough guys. He'll talk about them. They're really tough. You know, that's his, you know, he's a gangster, wannabe gangster. Now he's a real gangster because he's got the power to be a real gangster. And he loves the fellow gangsters.
I guess we'll see what happens when these Epstein files get released, man. We'll see who's the real gangsters at the end of the day. Because honestly, there's nothing gangster about pedophilia. And I got to tell you that, like, that right now, You get to watch him cozy up with the strongest men out here, but yet he's one of the weakest presidents I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, we can't give him legitimacy. Otherwise, yeah, he becomes a strong man.
Yeah, but he's weak, yet he has, you know, he's a weak man. He's a sick man.
Amen.
But he's a four-year-old with nuclear weapons.
I guess that's true, too. So, you know.
And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I can't sleep at night. I mean, there are a lot of reasons looking at what they've done to our democracy here. As you said at the beginning, Nick Ramos, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a lot of our fabled checks and balances are falling by the wayside. A lot of the institutions are not holding up.
But the people are fighting, Matt.
But the people are fighting. That's what's keeping us alive right now. That's what's keeping our democracy alive. So I want to thank you for being our guest on the John and Gordy Show. Nick Ramos, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Hey, man. Invite me more, dude.
Oh, anytime. And we'll be right back after the break to talk about Sandhill Cranes and why some Republicans in the legislature up the street want to start shooting them. Please stay tuned to the John and Gordy Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.